Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Backpacking Podcast. John Kelly here without Jeremiah Stringer. Jeremiah decided to bail on us tonight to go watch a UK basketball game. He got some free tickets, and we decided to let him go because we knew if he wasn't here, we could pick on him even more. And so tonight's going to be a good night. We're excited to have everybody here. We've already been looking through these comments, and this is a great one. This is a deep cut right here from Jeff Peters. Garmire's Hiker Wrestling League, let the rumble begin. If you weren't here for the very first episode that we had Jeff Garmire on here, we talked all about the Hiker Wrestling League, and I think we need to revisit that today because we got some guys that are newer to the game that weren't around back then who might be fun to put up against each other. I'm just saying. Real quick, I want to say thank you to everybody last week who decided to give and help us out in providing money to help out with the GoFundMe for Miss Trips, who is dealing with stage 3 breast cancer. She was completely overwhelmed last week with just the generosity of everybody who was on here. So thank you guys for doing that. They've raised $12,261 so far. Last week, we raised an additional about $370 to go towards that. So we're going to make sure that we get that to them this coming week and make sure that we do everything we can to help them, provide them with the finances they need to make some really long trips and to pay for some pretty expensive stuff in dealing with her cancer right now. And Trips, if you're on here, if you're not, whatever, we love you, and we hope you heal up soon. Tonight, we've got a couple great guests on here, two guys that have been on here before multiple times, but they've never been on here together. And the reason they're on here together tonight is because these two FKT hikers actually joined forces to help Jason Wish do the trifecta of FKTs on the Sheltoe Trace. And so I want to bring those guys on right now, and that is Jeff Garmire, Jason Wish. How's it going, guys?
Hey, how's Great. It going, man?
Man, it's good to have you guys on here. It's so funny knowing the two of you, because you are not the same kind of people. Like, Jeff is kind of like running with a stroller and a dress, and Jason's more of the like straight lace, I'm going after this thing. And so the idea of you two working together is just awesome. So how did this happen? How did you guys get together so that to help Jason trace FKT?
I think I had heard that I must have been reading something he posted online that you were doing some coaching. And that was at the time I was probably 5 months out, 4 months out from my FKT start date. And I reached out to him, and yes, he was coaching. So we set up a time to chat on the phone. It felt like a good fit, and we decided to go with it and try it out. So I think we worked together for about at least 4 months, maybe five. I can't remember now, but yeah, it was a good experience. It was easy working with Jeff. I really enjoyed it. It helped me feel better prepared by being able to pick his brain on some of his FKT secrets that he uses to be successful. And, you know, obviously it's the experience that I was after. You know, he's got so much valuable experience to share from all of his FKTs that he holds. And I knew that would be invaluable for me heading into this one, going supported, because that's something I've never done. And I don't know if you've ever really went supported. Have you, Jeff? I mean, most of your stuff was unsupported, self-supported type stuff, right?
Yeah. I don't think I've gone supported. I'd say it's close. Kind of what we went for a strategy for the Sheltoe was similar to sort of how I have done like Cocodona the last 3 years, and how it's like these pit stops and keep moving type of thing. So took some of that 200-mile racing mindset, applied it to FKTs, and then threw in sort of the FKT tips and tricks along with it. And yeah, I started coaching some athletes around the first of the year and have slowly grown that, and a lot on the longer side of things, like a lot in the 100 mile plus category racing, and then a number of FKTs this year. So really trying to bridge that gap because it's so similar between ultra running and trail races and FKTs and stuff too, and share some of that experience. And I would say we actually probably are pretty similar in our drive and focus on going after something. I remember Jason tried a 100 mile FKT about a month or so before the Sheltowee, and didn't end that well, but he came back like 2 or 3 days later with this like really driven resolve for the Sheltowee. And for since I'd talked to him on the phone about coaching, that was like the A goal. So he was right back on that even after falling down a little bit. So I have that same resolve, and I think that's where the commonality really lies. Whether he races in a dress or not, that's up to him. But we have a lot in common, at least by the
Not gonna
mindset and
happen.
that relentless drive.
Well, all I know
Yeah,
is
and that's one.
I'll say I would 100% agree with that, because I've talked to Jason before about these things, and I've seen Jason shortly after an FKT, and seeing Jason shortly after one and just normal Jason are two completely different people, because you can see the kind of drive you'd have to even do one of these things is insane because of how beat up you are at the end of one. Because that's the thing I think that's impressive about both of you and doing these things is the beating that you have to give your bodies to be able to do something like this is insane. Jason, you'd already had two FKT attempts on the Sheltowee. Why a third?
Well, well, I held two FKTs on the Sheltowee. The self-supported was in 2019. The unsupported 2021. And then in 2022, I tried to go for supported last November, and I failed. That was because of some inclement weather came in, and we had to abort. I was 111 miles in, so it's been eating at me for a year to get back out there and conquer this thing once and for all. And to be honest with you, I think the trifecta, having held all three FKT categories on the Sheltowee Trace, almost means as much to me as having the overall fastest time, because I know that overall is going to get beat eventually. Someone's going to come out there that's a really great ultra runner and is going to have a great crew and is going to have perfect weather, and they're going to go low fives. I think even on the best of days with the right person, it's possible to go sub five on that trail. I'm not capable of doing that, and I have no desire to ever go back and try to beat my time. But
And by sub five, you're
just
meaning
knowing
five
that I
days,
got
right?
that, yeah, I think someone could go out there and get low fives pretty easy. I was on pace
Wow.
to get five and a half. I should have got five and a half, but we'll get into a little bit more of this in a little bit. There was a lot of things that happened along the way that almost took me out of it. But real quick, I wanted to back up. One of the things that appealed to me about working with Jeff was knowing that he has recently been getting into all these ultra races, these 100 milers and the Cocodona 250. Getting that experience behind you and being able to share that with me because I was going supported, that was really what I was looking for. I feel like I had kind of knew what I was doing on the self-supported and unsupported side of things, but being able to run for 6 days straight, that's where I needed to get the proper training, more experience from someone that was doing a lot of running. And that, and Jeff has been doing that. So yeah, it was a great experience.
Can I show something that gives an example of what it's like to be an ultra runner? I may have
Do
clipped a little video from Jeff's Instagram. I want to show people what it looks like to be an ultra runner, if that's okay. Check this out, guys. I think that's one of the greatest Instagram reels in all time. Talk to me a little bit, Jeff, about what it's like on these ultra runs that you're doing, and the beating you take, because I know just seeing pictures from different guys, not just yourself but others, it's brutal. What makes you do this?
Well, it's kind of like a puzzle to figure out what is going to make you successful, and it's built on a lot of failures too, or small failures. And I think everyone has something that they is usually an Achilles heel. And from that video, you could probably tell mine's usually nutrition or the stomach holding out while trying to push a pace. So I just love the puzzle aspect of it. And it's the one place when you're an adult where it's competitive, but it's like fun competitive. You're not so much rooting for everyone else to fail, more so you're going after your own times and like doing as well as you can. So you can put on like last a week ago I raced a 100 miler in a kilt. So it's you can kind of show your personality in it. You can't go play tennis or pickleball and that kind of thing without getting laughed off the court. So I kind of like that. And the reason to keep going back is it's pretty defined like feeling on how well you did, like if you feel like you executed or not or did well. And then there's always something to fix. So that kind of drives you to keep building on top of that and go after it and try to either be faster, feel better, go for longer. And there's so many different types of races and they're everywhere now. It's pretty cool way to have a more stable job and a life and still do things on the trails and outside where a thru hike is a little harder to pull off with having a normal house and rent and stuff too. So
Right.
FKTs or ultras, it's kind of where it is now.
That's basically all you got time for.
Yeah, we'll see. I gotta sneak some more thru hikes in, but yeah, it's hard.
Oh yeah, totally. And Jason, you've got some pictures in here. Can we show those of your Sheltowee Trace hike that you just did?
Yeah, I can kind of describe what's happening when you show the pictures here, or what was
Okay.
going on. Or okay, so this is the day before we started, the night before we started. That little red cabin had a little bathroom and a shower in it, and a place to lay two cots on the floor. So Jordan Burns from Red River Gorge area and I both slept in there. He was the one that was crew me on day one. Well, he was there the whole week, but he was the only one that was there on day one. The other two guys didn't show up till day two. So there's the northern terminus. Moments before heading into the darkness. But it was already 7 a.m., believe it or not. So it was just
Oh,
dark out
wow.
still. So this is day three. My first 3 days, I was able to run almost the entire thing, a slow run. I got 60 miles pretty much all 3 days. And then I had some kind of injury right there on my lower shin, upper ankle that kept swelling, and it went all the way into my toes. I really struggled with this. We iced it. It's hard. The guys are running to get ice in town when the ice would run out in the cooler. So, that was kind of a pain getting ice. I had Epsom salts with me. Obviously I'm taking ibuprofen. And John Harden reached out to me, or I actually reached out to him. John Harden is was the previous fastest known time holder. And he said, start taking extra vitamin C and gelatin. So I didn't know
Really?
what form of gelatin to get. So I just picked up a big case of Jell-O and was pumping Jell-O and vitamin C into my body. And I think it actually helped. I don't know if it was that or that in a combination of ice and vitamin I, but we were able to get it under control enough that I was able to keep on speed walking for the majority of the trail. So yeah, every time I got to an aid station, I would let the guys would have a little table or in the mats on the ground for me, and I'd prop my foot up and I would eat my bowl of soup or pierogies or sandwiches, whatever I had requested ahead of time. And that made the aid stops a little longer than I wanted. We were talking about this earlier. The guys have maps out, even though I had all the aid stations all put on spreadsheets, where they're having to look at the map every now and then just to figure out where's the best place to stop next, 5 or 7 miles down the road. But those are the three guys right there. We got Leonidas on the right and Chris Simonson on the left. He was just there for 3 days. And then Jordan Burns there in the middle. Him and Leonidas were there for the entire 6 days from start to finish. This is the Red River Gorge suspension bridge crossing. So if you look up at the very top middle area, you can see the cables of the suspension bridge. The planks have all been removed, but it was an easy crossing. We had to get our feet wet, but on a supported hike, you're changing shoes anytime you need to. I had like 7 pairs of shoes. So just walked through the water. It was about 5 inches, 6 inches deep there on the deepest spot. And then I had a new pair of shoes a couple miles down the trail. And there's the finish. I was completely exhausted on the Burt Mill Bridge. That was the most, Jeff, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's the most glorious feeling on earth when you've completed and reached your completed something that long and reached your goal. I'm sure you felt the exact same way after all your 100 milers, and especially the Cocodona. And you probably said you're never going to do it again.
Yep,
And there's
that's the
the
normal
barefoot
response.
Bubbly. Yeah, I had to be careful when I pulled the pop the cork out on that. I had to make sure it didn't hit Colonel in the eye. He's always worried it's going to shoot and hit him in the face there when he's filming me. There's the
I see.
crew, minus Chris. Colonel is there on the right. He wasn't part of the crew, but he was there to drive me home. So
That's
yeah,
awesome.
great
That's
moment.
awesome. Yeah, it sounds like you guys had a great time out there. I mean, it sounds like they had a great time watching you be miserable. So let me
You
bring you
know,
guys
they were
back up
miserable
here.
too.
What's that?
I said those guys were had pretty miserable moments too.
Oh,
It's
really?
crew life is not easy. Oh man, crew life is tough. I mean,
Well,
I'm sure
tell
Jeff
us
has
about
seen
crew
this
life a little
firsthand.
bit.
Yeah, these guys, I was paced probably, I'm just picking a number off a random number, 75, 80% of the time. I might do the first 10 miles in the morning alone because they had to break down their camps and my camp.
Right.
They're driving to a new trailhead every 7 miles or whatever, and then getting waiting for me, playing the waiting game and cooking food and getting it all out. And then at camp every night, setting up my entire camp, their entire camp. And these guys are running on fumes because we're up around the clock. I'm only sleeping like in 1 or 2 hours a night. So yeah, I even got a, there was a couple times I was even a little demanding, and not on purpose. It's just because you get in your tent, you have limited time to sleep. So you need everything there. So when you're with a new crew, you know, on day one and two, you're kind of figuring things out. So I was like, you know, guys, this is what I want in my tent at the end of the night or when I get there. And they did a great job. They had everything in there. And I'm getting in there, getting changed, getting ready to sleep. And, you know, they're all 50 yards away, setting up their camps finally. And it's pitch black. You know, it might be 11 o'clock at night. And I realized, oh crap, they forgot my water. They forgot my body glide. Oh, do I yell at them right now to get it or I just go to sleep? And so I'm barking orders out of my tent, yelling at the top of my lungs, guys, body glide, water. Because I need to get to sleep ASAP. So they know they run that stuff over. And they got better and better throughout the week. They started having everything ready for me. And I would try to get some shut eye as fast as possible. And then in the morning, they would have breakfast for me. It was usually like a protein shake that I had told them how to make. I gulp that thing down and just hit the trail and leave everything behind. That's what's great about a supported hike, man. You don't have to pack all your gear up. You could just get up and go. And they have all that trash and camp set up to tear down and pack up and hurry up down the road to the next aid stop. And they're running on fumes. Like Leonidas thought he was going to fall asleep at the end of at the southern terminus, driving to the southern terminus, because and he actually had to have Colonel get in there and drive. So they're up almost as long as I am, maybe more,
Well, here's a
because they're
question
preparing
for you.
things ahead of time.
Well, here's a question for you from Kentucky Backpacker. He wants to know, is there a particular reason you go southbound during your FKT attempts?
On the Sheltowee, I think it's slightly set up better for southbound. I think there might be a little more blazes. Elevation's irrelevant. The elevation change from north and south terminus is pretty irrelevant.
Yeah.
It's easier in the first half, and I like to just bust out some high miles and get those out of the way. But some people would say the opposite. Do the hard mileage, the harder stuff at the beginning, starting south, and then just cruise it on in on the easy stuff in the north.
Well, let
So
me
I
ask you
don't know.
this. Let me ask you this with an FKT, because I'm never going to do one. Just being honest with you, it's not happening.
Not with that attitude.
You're
Not with
right.
that
You're right.
attitude.
My attitude is terrible. But no, I just think, in my mind, I would think you would want it for the sake of not getting into a bad space in your head. I would want to go a little easier at the beginning to get myself moving and get along a certain way, and then. I think I would be better off mentally to deal with the hard stuff at the end than I would if I dealt with it all at the beginning. Does that make sense, or is that a crazy way of thinking?
What do you think, Jeff?
So you want the hard stuff at the end, is that what you're saying, or the beginning?
I would want it at the end. I think if I had it at the beginning, I would have a better chance of just getting discouraged really quick. Whereas I
Yeah,
could get a
I
pace
think
going and then put the hard stuff at the end.
Yeah, I think it's really hard at the beginning because you have to get in such a mindset and there's so many miles to go. It's pretty hard mentally, and then it turns to hard physically and mentally. So maybe it is nice to get a chunk under you at the beginning, but that also makes it hard because it's too easy to go too hard at this start too. So I don't know that there's one way to do any of these. That's why there's attempts both directions for almost every trail.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe that. Well, hey, real quick, I want to get some questions. Want to get some of the comments in here. I've been kind of collecting them as we go. We've got thank you to everyone. This is from Miyagi down in Texas right now for surgery on Thursday with trips. So as we said before, prayers, thoughts are going out to you guys. Love you too so much. Salmon Outdoors, they're both FKT beasts. So big props to you too. And this one I think it became kind of a comment that kept going here. So the real Colonel gets on here and says, "Wait, is Jeremiah really skipping because of the merch thing from before and he's just ashamed to not have it?"
Correct.
Jeff, could you let everybody know kind of the little bet we had going on last time you were on here?
Yeah, I knew it would probably be, 11 months or a year. And so I thought it would be this really realistic chunk of time for Jeremiah to get some merch for all you awesome listeners and fans. And that I was just doing my part trying to get him to support the community that supports him. And so I made the bet with him that he would have to get merch by the night or have merch available by the next time that I was on. And here we are. And I haven't followed too religiously, but it doesn't seem like there's any merch out there yet.
There is not merch, and people have taken notice of this. Travis Danek says, I hope I'm saying that last name right. Convenient that Jeremiah isn't here with his merch. Also, Steve Wright says, Jeremiah skipped out because he ain't got no merchandise and he can't face these guys without being in shame. So, Jeremiah, man, I'm starting to wonder if this UK game is for real. I don't know, man. I think it could be something else. There were some other comments coming in too. We've got the I'd Rock an SKT, the slowest known time. That's my jam. We've got
Sounds
I
kind of
can
nice
do
right now.
we got the I can do an FKT fattest known time. That's from that hiking guy. And then we come back to I respect ultra runners. That's some hardcore stuff. Now, Jeff, you've done a lot of this. Jason, are you thinking about doing any of this ultra running stuff?
I've done about six
Have
ultra
you?
races. I've run about three 50Ks, 150 miler, and two 100 mile attempts that ended at mile 83 both times.
Wow, I didn't know you'd
I
done
still I
that.
still got to complete my I still need to complete a 100 miler.
Wow.
So
Well, here's a great question for both of you guys. When you do an FKT, how much food do you eat every hour and how much water do you drink to keep yourself from bonking?
I don't know. I don't know. A good plan is maybe in that 200 to 300 calories an hour realm, but it's really terrain dependent. It can be altitude dependent. Water is very temperature dependent. So I don't know. It's really hard. This is where the best experience is going out there and playing around with some fast packing, or I have a lot of thru hikers that are transitioning into trying ultras or FKTs do fixed time stuff because then you're in this controlled environment where every hour you hit an aid station. So it's really hard to want to give blanket advice to this. I eat a lot less than some people, but drink more water. So it's really all over the map. And nutrition is really tricky the faster you go and the longer you go, as I know Jason has found out too.
Yeah, Jason, you had an issue with electrolytes on the trail. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so on day three, I actually it might have been day four. Because I ran the first 3 days and I was on schedule to reach my goal of 5.5 days, and then the swelling started from I don't know if I injured my leg or what, but I was having some serious foot muscle pain, and I've had this problem in 2021 going unsupported, but I just figured it was because I was carrying a 35-pound pack, going unsupported. This time I had no weight. A lot of the guys, a lot of the times the guys were even muling my pack. So I was wearing nothing. But at least I was, at times I was wearing my two flasks on my running vest. So hardly any weight at all. So I couldn't say it was from that. But yeah, the foot muscle pain was so intense that I couldn't run anymore. And I was like, my walk was even getting slow. And it would always happen at the end of the day. So I didn't know if it was just weak feet muscles or what, but I've never had foot muscle pain on anything during a 100 miler, never once. So why was it happening on this? And it dawned on me going through the Cumberland Falls area. I ran out of electrolytes and because it was a 6 hour trek through there. And I think after about 4 hours, I ran out of almost everything. And I knew we were almost to an aid stop at the Cumberland Falls Visitor Center. And I just had to push through that last hour and a half or whatever it was with nothing. And all of a sudden my foot pain went away. Just on like a turn on a dime, completely went away. And I was able to run full blast past Leonidas and was flying towards Cumberland Falls Visitor Center. And it dawned on me right then that I think I'm having too many electrolytes, too much salt. And it was causing foot pain. I don't know. It's like Jeff was saying, it's one of these things that just you figure out with time. And I don't have enough time to keep going back and do the Sheltoe over and over and over to figure this out.
Right, right.
But that's what my guess was. That was my guess. It had to be overload because when you do a 100-mile ultra or less, or even 50 milers, you can chug the tailwind and electrolytes and pop salt tabs every hour all the way through that because you're done in a matter of hours, you know, 6 to 10, 12 hours, you're done. This is different. You know, you're out there 15 to 20 hours a day on the move drinking electrolytes. And at some point, I think you get too much, especially if you're not sweating a lot because the temperatures were a little bit cooler. Like Jeff was saying, you know, the amount of water you drink is dependent on the temperatures and how much you're sweating often. So yeah, very strange. It's still something I'm trying to figure out. I'm sure there's someone out there that could answer that question for me better. But yeah, it was excruciating foot pain. And I basically had to walk this FKT in the final 3 days. I might have a few little short jogs here and there, but I was just, it made time on feet be 20 to 22 hours instead of running for 15 to 18 and getting a good night's sleep. Instead, I had to just walk longer and sleep less. And that was the only way I was able to pretty much reach my goal, you know, getting that 6 days, 6 day range.
We had a nutritionist on here a few months ago, and one of her things that she said was the biggest problem is that people drink these electrolyte drinks when they don't need them. She said it can do a lot of damage to you if you're not careful. So that was just interesting. When you were actually doing like these little shorts, these little real quick little live things on YouTube during your hike. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get to catch all of them, but I did catch that one. And I remember thinking to myself, man, she wasn't kidding because you could tell looking at you were in some very serious pain. It was written all over your face that you were not feeling really comfortable at that point.
It has a name. It might be hypomitremia or something like that. Jeff, are you familiar with this at all? Like, have you seen anything like this happen with all your long distance Cocodona stuff?
Yeah, I've had it a lot more on the opposite side though, without having enough electrolytes. When I first entered ultra running, I didn't know too much about that balance, or I mostly didn't know about salt pills, but I have heard of too much salt. I haven't personally dealt with that, just the opposite, but it's fairly common in the longer stuff. And I've heard of it leading to, yeah, people messing up their stride and messing up their muscles from it too. So it certainly is pretty serious.
Yeah. And I'm just glad you came out okay, man, because that's some scary stuff when your body starts betraying you like that.
Yeah. And it's amazing to me, the highs and lows you go through in something like this. You feel it a little bit on a 100 miler, at least the ones I attempted. And I remember feeling it this way on my previous two Sheltoe attempts, but man, you go into some deep, dark places and you get down and you're in that pain cave, and man, it's hard. It's nice to have a good crew to help pull you up out of that. But man, when you're in one of those highs, it's like the runner's high feeling you hear about. Oh, it's glorious. It's so fantastic. And you just feel like you're invincible and nothing can stop you. And you feel so optimistic and positive. And then all of a sudden it's just gone. It's like, where'd it go? And you go down again. So it's like a roller coaster ride for 6 straight days. And something else that I haven't talked about a lot in some other presentations I've done is my weight loss. I mentioned this to Jeff. Coming into this thing, I was pretty happy with my weight. I was down about 10 pounds just from a busy season of farming and sweating all summer and running 35, 40 miles a week. It's hard to maintain your weight. You got to eat constantly. I mean, I have a high metabolism already, but I was eating constantly. And then you go put yourself through the ringer for 6 days on 350 miles. And I dropped another 4 pounds and I'm finally getting some of it back. But man, it's been a slow go for the last, for 10 days. It took me 10 days to finally turn the corner and feel like I'm getting my energy levels back. I was just like wanting to lay around with no motivation.
Yeah, it's amazing. So it feels good to imagine.
Finally.
Yeah. I can't even imagine. You were talking earlier about highs. That brings me right to Miyagi's question here. He says, curious about any hallucinations Jason and Jeff may have experienced during their attempts.
I know Jeff has a bunch to talk about on this. I've heard some of his stories, but I didn't have anything like that on this one. I have had some weird things that I've seen in the bushes and weeds and on the leaves during my unsupported in 2021, but not this time. I was lucid. Is that the right word? I was coherent.
Yeah.
And normal the entire time. But yeah, I bet Jeff could tell an hour worth of stories on his hallucinations.
Yeah. The one through line that I have is when I was like 5 or 6 years old, the movie Jumanji came out and I had a lot of nightmares about that safari guy with the gun in it. And now in the past 5, 6, 7 years of doing FKTs and these types of efforts, I've had a safari guy come out a lot of different times and just be like perched on stumps, perched in the bushes. It can be in Arizona in the desert. It can be on the John Muir Trail. It can be in up north or in the snow or anywhere. But it's like there's a safari guy that just starts popping out places. And it's not really a nightmare, but it's pretty strange. And connecting it back to my first nightmares that I can remember is pretty strange.
So he just keeps popping back up like just randomly when you're doing your runs.
Yep, day or night, that guy's always there. It's like I got a buddy on the trail pushing me forward.
That's awesome. That is awesome. So okay, so both of you guys, you've done the FKTs, you've done through hikes, you've done ultra races, but there's one thing, Jeff, that you've done that I want to see Jason try and do, and that's the Barkley Marathon. What do you think, Jason?
I don't think I would ever qualify or be invited to something like that. I don't have a big enough repertoire of FKTs behind me and ultras to do that.
Oh, come on.
I don't know enough about the Barclays. It seems awfully strange, even if I was asked to go. I mean, you look at these guys that are world-class ultra runners. They make it one or two laps some years, and it's over. It just doesn't make sense to me.
That just sounds like it's right up your alley, man. I'm just saying. What is the deal?
I don't understand the book page thing. What is that all about? That you got to go find.
So you have a bib number. You have a bib number. Say you're number 20, and all of the 13 books that you navigate to with map and compass, you have to tear out page 20 to prove that you made it to that checkpoint on the course. So it is pretty crazy and pretty insane and maybe pretty stupid, but I mean. Haven't you done the FKT on the same trail 3 times too?
Yeah, you make a good point. I want to know when you're going to do a last man standing or back. I know you've done the backyard altar thing, haven't you?
I've done two.
Well, I know last you've done some silly standing. Mile thing. Okay.
Yeah.
So what is a backyard ultra?
So in a normal race, it's either a fixed time where you race for a certain amount of time or a certain amount of miles. And in a backyard ultra, you don't know either of those. So you show up and you run 4.1 miles on the hour, every hour until everyone except for one person has quit. So this year they just wrapped up about a week and a half ago and the winner was Harvey Lewis and he went 108 laps, which is 450 miles.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He didn't sleep for four and a half days.
Yeah. The most he could have got was like some 7-minute naps.
Yeah.
Man, you've got to be competitive to do that. So
you have to be back at the corral. You run this 4.1 mile loop. And you can do it as fast as you want. Most guys are coming in at like that 45, 50 minutes. And you got 10 minutes. You can sit down, eat. Go to the bathroom, try to sleep, treat your feet. They blow the whistle. You're back up there. Everybody starts at the same time for another lap over and over and over for 4.5 days.
That is
75
crazy.
Of the world's greatest athletes were came together for this, for the ultimate. Well, I don't know what you call it. The world's greatest ultra athletes. You know.
Yeah.
Championship.
The best moment of it though was when second place he started the 108th. I believe they call them rounds. So the 108th round, and he quit and walked back, and like he'd broken the record. These two guys had gone further than anyone had ever done it. He got second. He's from Canada, and he apologized for not being able to make it further to everyone like watching, and it's being live streamed. And he's just like, I'm sorry. I just don't want to do damage to my body. I don't think I can go any further. And it's like, dude, you've gone like 440 something miles. Like, no need to apologize, but it was pretty hilarious.
Oh my gosh. Girl Plus Dog Adventures said that's borderline torture to me. Sounds slightly illegal, but totally legit. When did these start happening? How have I not even heard of these things?
The creator of the Barkley Marathon started this concept. And okay. So it's
figures.
His thing, and it's blown up. There's probably one near you if you're on here. And if you're a thru hiker, you got a pretty good chance. You just got to jog a little bit of it, and you can just power hike the rest of it. And it's one of the most controlled ways to get to 100 miles in 24 hours because you're forced to only do 4 miles an hour.
Gosh, I love this. Miyagi goes, I bet there's some great poop stories coming out of that event.
Oh, yeah.
I can't even imagine. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so... Jason, you think you're going to do one of those?
I don't think so. You know, this summer I ran a 16 mile ultra. It was just a small one right nearby my hometown. It was in Columbus, and they had a backyard ultra going on at the same time. I wasn't able to enter it because it was during farmers market season, and I do farmers markets on Saturdays. But it started Friday night and went through the night all day Saturday, and there was maybe 30, 40 people that entered it. And they only made it like 20, 30 laps, something like that. You know, they didn't know it was under 100 miles. I think the winner only went like 70 some miles. So I feel like I might have had a chance at one of those. That seems plenty far to me. I wouldn't want to do one for hundreds and hundreds of miles. No way.
400 miles. I'm still like trying to grasp 400 miles nonstop, like running every hour.
The craziest thing about it is that you enter it and you don't know how long you're going to be going, how many miles you're going to be going out there. Like, guys were getting worried. I know the photographer who was out at the event, he was worried he was going to miss his flight because it went for 5 days. Like, his flight was coming up. Like, you can't even plan for this because you don't know how many days it's going to go, literally.
That's nuts. That is absolutely nuts. I didn't even know something like that existed. So, okay. So how do you train for something like that? Is there a way to train for something like that?
I mean, there's like a lot of things you can do, but a lot of the training is going to be based on just being able to move slow enough and consistently enough for that long. Ironically, the like now very popular Goggins challenge is a pretty solid way to train for that, where you're making your body move every 4 hours or so. So you just have to be able to kind of sink into a 11 minute mile pretty easily. And that's kind of the key to training for that. And then from there, you just got to be able to turn your mind off, because all the things you usually have answers to on a run, like how far you're going or how long it's going to be, you have no answers. So it's such a mental thing. It's so, very little is physical.
That's insane. That is absolutely insane. Well, let me ask you guys this. What's the next move for you guys? Like, what's your next FKT ultra race? What do you guys got coming up?
I'm still in recovery mode. I have nothing in the works right now. I was going to tell Jeff this earlier, but I feel like I'm finally maybe able to think about going on a little jog. I didn't know how much time to take off. Yeah, that was something I was going to ask you. I, after 350 miles, I feel like you almost need to take off 3 weeks. I finally have walked 2 days of a mile back to back yesterday and the day before. I got a little pain issue with my kneecap. So I feel like I can't really go out and start training yet. So I'm just trying to get fully recovered, get back into the weightlifting. and rest and enjoy some off season of farming. But if I was feeling better, I was just talking about this with my wife the other day. I think I would probably want to go back and try to tackle that 100 miler that I failed on twice in the Alleghenies. It's the NCT North Country Trail portion through the Allegheny National Forest in PA. It's 100 miles. And that's where I failed twice. And that's eaten away at me a little bit. So there's a little part of me that maybe would try to still go back and conquer that one. Because I submitted it on the FKT site and they approved it, that route. So that route is there just waiting for someone to grab it. No one's done it yet. So why
I've
not me?
noticed. I've
But
noticed you're big on
I don't
that.
know
You're
if I
big
want
on
to.
redemption. Like you want to go back and get the things that you like. That
Yeah.
competitive spirit in you does not like leaving something undone.
Yeah, you're right. But at the same time, when I'm in the middle of it, getting ready to fail, when I see the incoming, I know I can't go on because something's happened. I'm like, why am I doing this? Why I have a whole list of trails just waiting to be backpacked on. I got a whole list of rivers waiting to be kayaked. Why am I torturing myself when I could be enjoying all these things? And this brings me to another point. People always ask me, Jason, why don't you ever slow down and smell the roses? I got two things to say about that. Well, first of all, I do. You just don't always know about it and see it. I do slow down and smell the roses. Think about how much more of a trail you can see over a weekend. If you're a weekend warrior and you want to just go out and hike 5 or 10 miles each night and enjoy your trip, that's great. You saw 5 or 10 miles of a trail. Me and Jeff would go out and see 50, 60 miles of that same trail and enjoy a lot more scenery.
Touche. There
One way to look at it.
you go. There you go. What about you, Jeff? What do you got coming up?
I'm in a bit, probably taking like a 2 week or 3 week off season here. I just finished the 100 miler about a week ago. And then I'm going to do Cocodona 250 in May. And I was kind of thinking about going for the Florida Trail FKT, but I haven't mentioned that anywhere yet. So thinking about that in maybe late
Ooh.
December, somewhere in there.
Hot take. Hot take. That's this is the first it's been
Wow.
spoken about. Look at that. Well, so have you done the Florida Trail before? Will this be the first time you've been on it?
First time I've been on it. Yeah. I have a couple few athletes who got some pretty cool FKTs this year and just have been wanting to go after something.
That's cool. That's cool. And I know
Sounds
you've
like that
got
sounds like a good one.
I was gonna say on that one, you've got what, anacondas and gators and all kinds of fun stuff to deal with on that one.
You mean just nutrition?
Yeah, there you go. There you go. You're hungry. It's just waiting for you. Okay.
Yeah, I thought that'd be a fun adventure for the winter, because winters are kind of tough here in Montana.
Oh yeah. The winters are horrible in Montana. Being in Florida is probably gonna be really nice for you.
Yeah, so we'll see if that comes together, trying to make myself rest for a couple weeks and then ramp back up, but that sounds pretty fun.
Oh yeah, that sounds awesome. Well, we got Jeremiah getting beat up again. Here it comes. If Jeremiah does not get on the kiss cam at that game, he probably isn't really there. So there's that.
I
And
got a
then
question for you, John.
what's that?
Well, I got a question for you. What if the
Yeah.
Buckeyes opener was tonight and you had free tickets?
The problem, here's the problem with that. The Buckeyes first opener would be 3.5 hours away. By the time he found out he had those tickets, I wouldn't have been able to make it to the game anyways. So I'd probably have to skip out. Now, if I knew a week in advance, I'd find a new guest host, or Jeremiah would be doing this, just to be honest, because come on now. It's the Buckeyes, bro. Logan
Boy.
Crawford gets on here. The first thing he says is, "Now, just now got here. Does Jeremiah have merch?" So, Logan, I
Man,
hate to be the one to say it. No.
your listeners have great memories. Wow.
I'll tell you, man. A couple years ago, we did a giveaway at the end of the year, just gave stuff away, and we asked random little questions about stuff that has happened during the course of the show over the years, and every single question got answered. It was insane. We could not believe just that people knew this stuff. So they actually know more about us, I think, than Jeremiah and I know about ourselves sometimes. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. Okay, so guys, I asked you earlier when we were talking, I said, we always do poop stories on here. So, guys, you got any good new poop stories to share with us? You guys do a lot of hiking, so, and with what you do, you don't always have time to stop and take your time to do the dose. So, why don't you guys share with us a little bit of your stories?
You want me to go first?
Sure, go for it, man.
All right. Only a few people know about this one. I'm a little embarrassed to tell this one because I'm a big believer in leave no trace now, and digging proper 6-inch deep cat holes. I would even, you know, I know backpacking with Jason Sir disagrees with me on this one, but I would even use a wag bag if I had to. I don't have a problem with stuff like that. But at the same time, I grew up on a farm doing it wherever I wanted to, anytime I wanted to, and never buried it once because it was my land and I didn't feel any different than an animal, deer and raccoon doing it all over the woods. What's the difference? Now on a hiking trail, I understand. And now that I'm a backpacker, I understand the leave no trace principles. So this happened in 2021 and I don't think I've ever told the story on your podcast, but, so this isn't a recent story from this one, but this was from my unsupported in 2021. I was all alone hiking through the Red River Gorge and it was pouring down rain and I had the urge. So fortunately in Red River Gorge, as you know, there's some decent rock overhangs that the trail goes underneath to help shelter you from the rain. Right.
Right.
And in these rock overhangs, there's often a dry, dusty floor and nice looking flat flagstones, almost like a walking path of some sorts in some places. So I'm out of the rain. I got a nice stone sitting right there and I'm not going to dig a cat hole in this dry, hard dust of ground in this almost like a cave looking thing. So I do my business on top of this little flagstone and then I proceed to pick it up and look to my left and there's a nice size drop off into the abyss. And I think there's a term for this in the rock climbing community. Someone correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's mud falcon. So that was my way of throwing a mud falcon off the ledge into the abyss at Red River Gorge. So there's my story. I feel bad about doing it, but you know, in the sake of an FKT, it had to be done.
Well, let me say this. You're saying you picked it up. What does picking up your poop mean? Are we talking barehanded or was there toilet paper at least involved in this?
The stone.
I picked up the flagstone. The flagstone was at least a foot in diameter.
Flat
rock. A flat rock. It's all on the rock. And then mud falcon over the edge. Never to be seen again.
Wow. Wow. That's good, man. That's real good. That's real good. Jeff, what do you got for us, man?
Well, I got two for you. One's quick to go back to earlier. I did one of those last person standing ones, and mine lasted about 30 hours. And inevitably, when you're out there 30 hours, you have to poop. And so you really have to, in the loops leading up to it, like one or two of them, you got to kind of plan like, okay, I'll take a real slow one, so I'll be rested. And then once it starts, the porta potties were about 100 yards into it. So I ran pretty much sprinted to the porta potty and you just make the quickest work possible of that thing. And we're talking like 3-4 minutes here. You're doing best cleanup job you can in the dark because it's dark out. And then you're flying out of that porta potty. Meanwhile, all the other people running in the last person standing or halfway around the loop. So you're like 80 miles into this event and you're trying to do like a 7-minute mile because you used all your bonus time pooping. And so that's sort of how the poop lap goes, as I like to call it. And then my other story is my friend who thru-hiked the Arizona Trail. And his name is Day 4 because it was his first time backpacking and he did not poop until Day 4.
Wow. Wow. Yep. That's impressive.
I bet you there's a lot of stories out there of people who don't feel comfortable. And so they feel very uncomfortable carrying that for a few days.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I was that way when I first got into backpacking. I wasn't real excited about pooping in a hole somewhere. Of course, the first time I did, I didn't have any place to do that, so I ended up pooping in a ditch on the side of the road, but that's for another day. So Jeff, last time you were on here, man, we discussed, well, I guess it was a couple times ago maybe, but we discussed the Backpacker Wrestling League, and we talked about this like big event we wanted to put on, maybe get it sponsored by Mountain Dew or something, and we'll have all of the famous YouTube backpackers get in the ring with each other and have a wrestling match. I think we headlined it with, I think it was Dixie and Darwin going in an intergender match.
Yeah, but, maybe.
But Dixie just got married, so I wonder if we don't do it a mixed tag match and we put Dixie and her husband in there against Darwin and his wife.
Wow, that would be pay-per-view viewing there.
I think so. I think so. The question is, Jeff, and this is the question we need to answer tonight before we're done, because we just got a few minutes left. Who does Jason Wish wrestle in his match in this pay-per-view? And is he in the pre-show, or does he make it to the big show?
I think he's on the main card, but maybe right at the beginning of that main card. You know how there's like five primetime fights? He might be that first primetime fight.
Yeah, I think you're right. Now we just got to figure out who he goes against.
I mean, I kind of want to put Jeremiah in there as punishment for this lack of merch.
Oh, yeah, we could do that. It'd be Yosemite Sam versus the Mud Falcon. It would be fantastic.
That is good. Wow.
Well, I'm only saying it because the real Colonel said great trail name for Jason would be the Mud Falcon.
That's terrible.
And
that's
I'm
terrible.
Starting to think
I don't ever want to hear that spoken again.
That is going to be Jason's trail name from here on out.
That is terrible.
Trail names choose you.
He's right about that. He's right about that. Here's another one to think about. What about Wish versus Wall? Jason Wish versus
Jason
Wall.
Jason Wall used to be into MMA.
Yeah.
I don't stand a chance.
He might actually hurt you. Maybe he would be Jeremiah's manager. Mr. Backpacking with Dad would go in there with his son Jeremiah and be the manager. Would Jeff be your manager then?
Maybe.
He comes out in a dress with a stroller. And in the stroller's like a tennis racket, and that's what he hits Jeremiah with, so you can get the 1-2-3.
I mean, this would be really exciting if we could make this happen.
We've got to figure out a way to make violence more prevalent in the backpacking industry. That's all I'm saying.
You just walk in with your thru-hiking kit, and anything inside you can pull out and use as part of that match.
Oh, yeah, make it a no-holds-barred match. That would be great.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Wrapping people up in a hammock.
Let me ask this. Jeff, there was one really good question. I'll make sure I get this in before we do anything. But did the documentary film you filmed ever come out?
It's company right now. So the hope is maybe February, March.
And that's going to be of the Colorado Trail, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. The Colorado Trail FKT there.
That'll be awesome. What's the title of that?
It's not anywhere right now. The title is pretty easy to guess. It's just Free Outside.
Free Outside. I can't wait to see that. I've been waiting. I've been watching for it. I haven't seen it yet, so I was glad somebody asked about that. One last comment before we start to wind this thing down. Backcountry Exposure said, you know, if you just strap the wag bag to your waist like they do with horses in a parade, you'd be fine.
There you go. That would work.
I would hate to run with that thing on me. All right, guys, let's talk a little bit about how people can find you online, because both of you have some really successful social media stuff going on. Jason, why don't you tell people where they can find you on YouTube and Instagram and all that good stuff?
Okay. On YouTube, it's just Jason Wish. And on Facebook, I believe it's Jason Wish as well. Yep. And I think that might be the Instagram, Jason_Wishwell Farms on Instagram. There we go.
Now, on the YouTube, I noticed, I'm going to put this back up here real quick. You got that dash at the end. People need to make sure that goes in there. So Because I typed it without that, and I got somebody completely different than you. So,
Wow. Huh. Yeah, it's kind of funny.
So, Jeff, how do people find you, man?
I think I'm just at the Free Outside on Instagram, and then without the, so just Free Outside on pretty much everything else. Someone got it first, so I didn't add a dash. I just added the.
I like it. Well, guys, I'm so glad to have you guys on tonight. I'm sorry Jeremiah punked you guys out. He actually told me he didn't really want to do this episode anyways. So, you know, that's just how things work out sometimes, I guess. I'm kidding, obviously. But thanks for being on. Hang on the green room for just a second, and I'll be back on there to chat with you in just a little bit, guys.
All right.
We'll see you in a second.
Cool.
All right, guys. It was obviously just a great time having those two guys on the episode tonight. I want to say a big thank you to everybody who was on here tonight, hanging out in the room, chatting, leaving hilarious comments about everything. You guys are the reason we get to do this. And if you weren't tuning in, watching and listening online, this would be a waste of time, and you guys make it the furthest thing from a waste of time. So thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. Next week, we are going to have a guest on we've never had on here before. He's a Georgia native, and you probably know him as Metro on the Move. We're going to have him on here next week. He's actually going backpacking with Jeremiah next week, or this coming weekend, and we're going to get him on here, and he's going to tell us just how bad of a backpacker Jeremiah actually is. And with that said, for myself and for the absent Jeremiah Stringer, thank you guys for tuning in. We will catch you on the next one.